Part 4. Day of Judgment. Chapter 35. First and Second Trumpets. The sound of the trumpet, Sur, in Arabic, will be the first stage of the Day of Judgment. Allah has mentioned it in many ayats of the Quran. For example, they esteem not Allah as is his due, and the whole earth shall be in his grip on the Day of Judgment, and heavens rolled up in his right hand, power. Hallowed is he, and exalted is he, high above all they associate with him. And the trumpet shall be blown, then shall swoon, that is, die, whoever is in heavens and whoever is in the earth, except those whom Allah has willed to keep alive on that occasion. Then the trumpet shall be blown again, and lo, they shall stand up awaiting. And the earth shall get radiant with the light of its Lord, and the book of deeds shall be set, and the prophets and the witnesses shall be brought up, and it shall be judged between them with justice, and they shall not be wronged. And every soul shall be paid in full what it had done, and he knows best what they do. And those who disbelieved shall be driven unto hell in flocks. Until, when they come to it, its doors shall be opened, and its keepers shall say unto them, Did not come unto you messengers from amongst you reciting unto you the signs of your Lord and warning you of the meeting of this your day? They shall say, Yes, but the sentence of punishment is confirmed on the disbelievers. It shall be said unto them, Enter you the gates of hell, to abide therein forever, and wretched is the abode of the arrogants. And those who feared their Lord shall be conveyed in companies unto the garden, until when they come to it, and its doors shall be opened, and its keepers shall say unto them, Peace be on you. You shall be happy, enter it then to abide for ever. And they shall say, All praise is for Allah, who made good to us his promise, and he has made us to inherit the earth, we may dwell in the garden wherever we please, and goodly is the recompense of the workers of good deeds. And thou shalt see the angels circling around the Arsh, the throne of absolute authority, celebrating the praise of their Lord, and it shall be judged between them with justice, and it shall be said, All praise is of Allah, the Lord of the universe. Quran, 39:67-75. These ayats have been quoted here in full as they give a concise description of the events of Qiyamah from the beginning up to the end. It would help the readers to understand the next chapters where the details are given. Anyhow, returning to the topic of trumpet, Allah says, And they say, When is this promise going to happen, if you are truthful? They wait not but for a single terrible cry which will seize them while they will be wrangling with each other. Then they shall not be able to make a bequest, nor shall they be able to return to their families. And the trumpet will be blown, then lo, they shall hasten from their graves unto their Lord. They shall say, Oh, woe unto us! Who did raise us up from our place of repose? Quran, 39:67-75. This is what the Beneficent, Allah, had promised, and the messengers did speak the truth. There will be but a single cry, when lo, they shall all be brought unto us. So, this day no soul shall be dealt with unjustly in the least, nor shall you be recompensed but that which you were doing. Quran, 36:48-54. Imam Zainal Abidin, peace be upon him, was asked, How much time will pass between the two blowings? He said, As much as Allah would please. Then he was asked, Then please tell me, O son of the Messenger of Allah, how the trumpet will be blown. Imam, peace be upon him, said, So far as the first blowing is concerned, verily Allah will command angel Israfil, who will come down towards the earth, and with him will be a trumpet, and the trumpet will have one mouthpiece and two tubes, and the space between the two tubes will be like that between the sky and earth. When the angels will see Israfil descend towards the earth with his trumpet, they will say, Verily, Allah has ordered the inhabitant of the earth to die, and the inhabitants of the heaven to die. Then he will blow into it once, and the voice will come out from that side which is towards the earth, and all living beings on the earth will swoon and die, and the voice will come out from that side which is towards the heaven, and all living beings in the heavens will die, except Israfil. Then Allah will say to Israfil, O Israfil, die. And he will die. They will remain like this as long as Allah would wish. Then Allah will order the heaven and it will reel, and will order the mountains and they will fly. As he has said, on the day when the heaven shall reel a terrible reeling, and the mountains shall fly an awful flight. Quran, 59:9-10. And the earth will be changed with another one, that is, with an earth upon which no sin would have been committed, open without any mountains and without any plant or grass, as he had revolved it in the first creation. And his arsh, throne, will return upon the water, as it was in the beginning, independent with his majesty and power. At that time, Allah will create a very loud voice which will ring throughout the earth and heaven, whose is the kingdom this day? No one will give any answer, as there will be none alive, then he will answer himself creating a loud voice, it is of Allah, the One, the Subduer, Quran, 40:16, I subdued all the creatures and gave them death. Verily, I am Allah, there is no God except I alone, there is no partner for me nor any minister, and I made the creatures by my hand, power, and I made them die by my will, and I shall resurrect them by my power. Then Allah will cause the second blowing of the trumpet, the voice will come out from that side which is towards the heavens, and there will be none among the inhabitants of the heavens but will become alive and will stand as he was before, and will return the bearers of the arsh and the garden and fire will be brought forth, and the people will be gathered for reckoning. Saying this Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, wept intensely. Mentioning some of the events of this tradition, Allah says, and when the trumpet is blown, a single blast, and the earth and the mountains shall be borne away and crushed with a single crushing, on that day shall happen the great event, and the heaven shall cleave asunder, so that on that day it shall be mere frail, and the angels shall be on the sides of it, and above them shall bear on that day arsh of thy Lord 8 angels. Quran, 69:13-17. A great many ayats of the Quran give us the picture of that time, when the earth and heaven will be crushed and changed into new ones. One who reads the Quran, with its meaning, and with open eyes, can understand it very easily. It is not possible to give here even one-tenth of those ayats. Why? Because the topic of Qiyamah is the most often described subject in the Quran. Unfortunately, nowadays the Muslims treat it as the least important. They do harm to none except themselves. The changing of the earth is mentioned in the Quran 14:48. On the day the earth shall be changed into a different earth, and so will be the heavens, and all shall be marshalled forth unto Allah, the One, the Dominant. Chapter 36. Resurrection of the Body. Resurrection of the body is one of the cardinal beliefs of Islam. If anyone, knowing this fact, rejects it, he is not a Muslim at all. It will not be out of place to point out here that people are divided into four groups on this subject. 1. There are atheists, who do not admit the existence of the Creator, and as a result, do not admit that He would resurrect us after our death. In my book, God, An Islamic Perspective, enough has been written to show the baselessness of atheism. Some more remarks will be given in the course of other discussions. 2. There are those who accept the existence of a creator, but reject the idea of the resurrection of body. According to them, the reward and punishment mentioned in the Quran and a hadith will be given to the soul only, the body will not be resurrected after death. 3. Those, like the Muslims, who believe that the Qiyamah will be for the body and soul together. 4. Agnostics, who say that they do not know, and in the nature of things, cannot know anything about soul, or matters concerned with it. They neither admit nor reject the existence of the Creator or Day of Judgment. When we look at the writings and arguments of those who refuse to believe in the resurrection of the bodies, it boils down to only one thing, astonishment. How can the body be resurrected after death when it has already turned into dust? There is no other argument to prove that the body cannot be resurrected. There is a sense of bewilderment as to how can it be done. Allah has commented in numerous ayats on this type of argument. A few ayats are given here for enlightenment. And if thou wouldst wonder, then wondrous is their saying, what, when we are dust would we really then be in a creation renewed? These are they who disbelieve in their Lord, they are those round whose necks will be collars of servitude, they will be companions of the fire, in it shall they abide, Quran, 13-5. Another group of ayats. O ye people! Fear your Lord, verily the quake of the hour of judgment is a thing terrible. The day ye shall see it, every suckling mother shall forget her sucking babe, and every pregnant female shall drop her load, and thou shalt see the people intoxicated, but they will not be drunk, but dreadful will be the wrath of Allah. And yet among men there is he who disputes about Allah, without knowledge, and follows every rebellious Satan. Against him it is decreed that whosoever turns to him for friendship him will he lead astray and will guide him unto the torment of burning fire. O ye people! If you be in doubt about the resurrection, then verily we created you from dust, then from sperm, then from a clot, then from a lump of flesh, formed and sometimes unformed, in order that we may manifest our power to you, and we cause to stay in the womb what we will until an appointed time, then do we bring you out as babes, then foster you that you may reach your maturity, and of you is he who is caused to die. And of you is he who is brought back to the feeblest state of old age so that he knows nothing after knowing much. And you behold the earth dried dead, but when we send down on it the water it is stirred to life and swells up and produces every kind of attractive herbage in pairs. This is because verily Allah, He is the reality, truth, and because verily He gives life unto the dead, and because verily He has power over all things. And that the hour of resurrection is coming, there is no doubt therein, and that Allah will raise up those in the graves. Quran, 22:1-7. In these ayats, Allah gives two examples to show that resurrection is not a thing to be wondered at. He reminds mankind that creating a thing is, by human thinking, more difficult than reassembling it after all its parts have disintegrated. Therefore, the Creator, who created the man in the first place, can more easily resurrect him after all his body has become dust. The words more easily have been used according to human thinking. So far as the power of Allah is concerned, everything is easy for him in equal degree. Another example is that of a parched earth, which is thought dead, coming to life again as soon as Allah sends some rain upon it. So, there is nothing strange if Allah makes us alive again after our death and disintegration. It should be mentioned here that these arguments are effective against the second group, that is, those who believe that there is a creator, and still do not believe in the resurrection of the bodies. So far as the first group is concerned, those who do not believe in a creator, they, first of all, should talk about the existence of God, the belief of Qiyamah would come after that. Chapter 37. The last verses of Surah Yasin. The Surah Yasin is called the heart of the Quran. In it Allah has emphasized the unity and justice of God, prophethood of the previous prophets and of the Holy Prophet of Islam, and the Day of Judgment. A few ayats concerning the trumpets were given in chapter 36. Here the last ayats are given with short explanation. What? Does not man see that it is we who created him from sperm? Yet behold, he is an open disputant. Quran, 36:77. Here Allah reminds man of his limitless power. Had the man been created from various parts, there would not have been anything to wonder about. Hard elements would have gone into the creation of bones, soft ones into flesh, and so on. But look! There is only one cell, and from that one substance various parts are fashioned, some solid like bone, some soft like flesh, others liquid like blood, etc. There is the wonder of wonders which is called brain. There are eyes, ears, tongue, nose and hundreds of limbs and their parts. This diversity of finished product created from a single cell of sperm is the proof of the wisdom and power of the Creator. And what an irrefutable proof! Starting from such a humble substance, man reaches such a stage that he becomes an open disputant. Here we are reminded of another wonder of creation. Sperm was a body, though a small one. Suppose someone said that small body naturally developed into a human body. But what about the reason and the wisdom which is found in the human beings? From which body did he get his thinking power? Thus, the creation of thinking and expression is a far greater proof of the Creator. The words open disputant have been used for two reasons. 1. Here his dispute about the day of resurrection is being mentioned, therefore, it was appropriate to remind him of his dispute with his Creator. 2. The power of speech is never so much manifested as when a man is arguing with someone, therefore, to show the climax of his speaking power, the words open disputant were chosen by Allah. Now, Allah describes man's dispute with God. And he made comparison for us and forgot his origin and creation. Said he, "Who will make these bones alive, and they are rotten at that?" Say, "He will give them life who created them for the first time. And he is fully cognizant of all the creation." Quran 36:78-79. In these ayats, two arguments against the day of resurrection have been refuted. First, those who do not bring any proof against resurrection, but only show their bewilderment on this idea. Their argument is given in the ayat, "Who will make these bones alive, and they are rotten?" Allah has strengthened their argument by mentioning the bone, which is a part of body which has no feeling. Such a lifeless thing, and then add to it the fact that it is rotten and turned to dust. Now, how can it be resurrected? Even before giving any reply, Allah shows the shallowness of this argument by saying that "and he made a comparison for us." This sentence points out the fact that the power of Creator should not be compared with the power of human beings who are created. It reminds us that all the bewilderment is based on the folly of human beings who think that because they cannot do a certain thing, therefore, the Creator also cannot do it. Then, still before mentioning their argument, Allah reminds them of their first creation in these words, "and forgot his creation." It is the second reply, "The Creator who created you in the first place, is powerful enough to make the bones alive second time." After mentioning their argument, the same reply is described more clearly, "He will give them life who created them for the first time." If there is anything to wonder, they should wonder at the first creation, not at the second one. Now we come to the second argument against resurrection. Some people said that suppose a man was eaten by a cannibal, and then that cannibal was eaten by a lion. That lion after his death was eaten by other animals. Now the part of the first man became the part of the second man, and afterwards part of the lion, and finally ended up as the parts of several other animals. How will that first man be resurrected? If those parts are removed from the body of the cannibal and returned to the first man, then the body of the cannibal will not be resurrected completely, because these had become a part of his body. And then what will happen to the parts in the bodies of the lion and the other animals, because those parts are now scattered everywhere, so the first body cannot be resurrected completely? Allah replies to them in these words, "And he is fully cognizant of all the creation. In every body there are some original components, and others which are later additions. Allah fully knows which is which. He will return the original components of each and every body to its rightful place, and will make them alive." So why this astonishment? After refuting these two so-called arguments, now Allah gives some more examples of his power. "The same Creator who produced for you fire from the green tree, when, lo, you kindle fire from it." Quran 36:80. In ancient Arabia, they used a wooden instrument for kindling fire. It was called zinad. It consisted of two pieces of wood which were rubbed together, and even if green, they produced fire. Now fire is likened to life. And green wood is generally thought unfit for kindling fire. Keeping in mind these two facts, now repeat the unbelievers' words, who will make these bones alive, and they are rotten at that. Allah reminds them that as he creates fire in the green tree, likewise he will create life in the rotten bones. How is it that one accepts the creation of fire from greenery, but doubts about the creation of life in the bones? After giving these examples from their day-to-day life, Allah now reminds them of his power in these words. What? Is not he who created the heavens and the earth able to create again the like of them? Yes, indeed he is the creator, all-knowing. Quran, 36:81. The word creator shows his limitless power, and all-knowing shows his knowledge from which nothing is hidden. Therefore, he has power enough to resurrect the bodies, and knowledge enough to know which part of which person has gone where, and then to collect all original parts to make a body complete. Finally, he says, his command, when he intends anything, is only that he says unto it be and it is. Quran, 38:82. This ayat exposes the fallacy of those who think about the power of Allah in terms of human power. Human beings cannot create anything without its materials, machines, experience and whatnot. Allah creates without any material, if he so wishes. Therefore, you should not wonder how he will resurrect the bodies after they are rotten in the graves. So glory to him in whose hand is the kingdom of all things, and unto him will all you be brought back. Quran, 36:83. The explanation of these verses have been taken from Baha'ul Anwar, Volume 7 pages 21-24. He has the kingdom of everything in his hand, and therefore, you should remain prepared to return to him, there is no doubt about it. And lastly, a short hadith of Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him. I am astonished to see a proud boastful person, yesterday he was a sperm and tomorrow he will be a dead body. And wonder of the wonders is about that man who doubts about the existence of Allah while he sees his creation. And wonder of wonders is that person who denies death, and he sees people dying every day and night. And wonder of wonders is about that person who denies the second life, that is, resurrection, and he sees the first one. And wonder of wonders is the person who develops the house which is to perish, and neglects the everlasting house. Chapter 38. Agnostic's View. Now we come to the agnostic's view that nothing is known, nor can be known, beyond material things which can be perceived by one or more of the five senses. Accordingly, they say that they do not know anything about the existence of God or any life hereafter. Their answer to all questions pertaining to God or the life hereafter is we do not know. In short, they neither accept nor deny the existence of God and resurrection. But if they are not atheist in disguise, then the safest course for them would be to have belief in the Creator and Day of Judgment. Here is a tradition of Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him. Once, Ibn Abi al-Arjah and Ibn Muqaffa were sitting in Masjidul Haram at the time of Hajj, with some of their fellow atheists. These people pretended to be Muslim just to save their skins, but were always openly arguing against the belief in God. Ibn Muqaffa pointed towards the space around Kaaba and said, "Do you see this mob? None of them can be called a human being except that old man, that is, Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him. The rest are just cattle and animals." Ibn Abi al-Arjah asked him how could he say such a thing. Ibn Muqaffa said, "Because I found with him virtue and knowledge which I could not find anywhere else." Ibn Abi al-Arjah said, "Now it is necessary to see whether what you say is correct." Ibn Muqaffa tried to dissuade him, but Ibn Abi al-Arjah went to the Imam, peace be upon him. He came back after some time and said, "O Ibn Muqaffa, he is not just a human being. If there were in this world a spiritual thing which could become a body if it wished and turn into a spirit if it wanted, then it is he." Ibn Muqaffa said, "How come?" Ibn Abi al-Arjah said, "I sat near him. When all went away, He began talking to me without my asking anything. He said, "If the fact is as they believe and he, God, is as they, pilgrims, say, then they would be saved and you would be in trouble. And if the truth is as you atheists say, and not as they say, then they and you both would be equal and nobody would come to any harm." I said, "May Allah have mercy on you. What it is which we say and what it is which they say. My belief and their belief is the same." Imam, peace be upon him, said, "How can your belief and their belief be the same? They say that there is to be a resurrection and reward and punishment, and they believe that there is God, while you reject these beliefs." Imam, peace be upon him, meant that if there was in fact no God and no day of judgment, as Ibn Abi al-Arjah said, then the believers and non-believers all would be in the same position after death. Both will perish forever, and no one will suffer for his belief or disbelief. On the other hand, if there is a God and if there is a day of judgment, as the believers say, then after death the believers will be saved and blessed, while the doubters and non-believers will have to suffer. Therefore, reason and wisdom dictate that we must have belief in God and day of judgment, to save ourselves from the possibility of eternal disgrace and sufferings. This irrefutable practical wisdom is based upon the saying of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, which was mentioned in Need of Religion under the heading the so-called Pascal's Bet. Now that it has been proved that the views of the first, second and fourth groups, mentioned in chapter 37, are wrong and against the dictate of wisdom, the only thing to believe is that Allah will surely resurrect man, body and soul altogether, as he has declared in countless ayats of the Quran. The following chapters will describe various stages of Qiyamah, as explained by the Quran and a hadith. Here we end this chapter with the words of Sheikh As-Sadyuq, may Allah be pleased with him. It is our belief that resurrection after death is true. And the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, O children of Abdul Muttalib! Verily the guide of a caravan does not mislead his own family. I swear by him who sent me with truth that you will die as you sleep, and then will be resurrected as you wake up, and there is no house after death except the garden, paradise, or fire, hell, and creating the whole creation and resurrecting them is just like creating one person and resurrecting him, so far as the power of Allah is concerned, as Allah Ta'ala has said, and creating you all and resurrecting you is but like creating and resurrecting a single person. Quran 31:28. Chapter 39. Maheshah, the gathering place and time. Allah says in the Quran, when the earth is shaken to her utmost convulsion, and throws up her burden from within, and the man cries, what is the matter with her? That day will she declare her tidings that thy Lord will have given her inspiration, order. On that day will men proceed in companies sorted out, to be shown the deeds that they had done. Then shall anyone who has done an atom's weight of good, see it, and anyone who has done an atom's weight of evil, see it. Quran, 99:1-8. This in a nutshell is the report of the Day of Judgment, from the beginning to the end. The first ayat describes the earthquake of the Qiyamah. In a previous chapter an ayat was mentioned which says, the earthquake of the hour of judgment will be a thing terrible. Quran, 22:1. That earthquake will flatten the earth, mountains, rivers, valleys and depressions, all will disappear. A flat earth will re-emerge, which will be the Maheshah, that is, the place of gathering. A few ayats of the Quran are given here to explain the above statement. When the sun is folded up, and when the stars fall losing their luster, and when the mountains vanish, and when the she-camels 10 months with the young which were highly prized are left untended, and when the wild animals are gathered, and when the oceans boil over, and when the souls are sorted out being joined like with like, and when the female infant buried alive is asked for what crime she was killed, and when the scrolls of deeds are laid open, and when the sky is removed, and when the fire of hell is kindled to fierce heat, and when the garden, paradise, is brought near, then shall each soul know what it has put forward. Quran, 81:1-14. So, the sun, moon and stars also will lose their luster and light, the day that we will roll up the heavens like a scroll rolled up for books, even as we produce the first creation, so shall we produce a new one. Quran, 21-104. The day when the earth will be changed to a different earth, and so will be the heavens, and men will be marshalled forth before Allah, the One, the Subduer. Quran, 14:48. They ask thee concerning the mountains, say, My Lord will uproot them and scatter them as dust, thus he will leave them as smooth and level plains, thou wilt not see in their place anything crooked or curved. Quran, 20-105-107. As the earth and heavens will change, and the sun and stars will die, the time also will change. Allah says, The angels and the spirit ascend unto him in a day the measure whereof is 50,000 years. Quran, 70-4. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Beware, take account of your souls before your account is taken by Allah because, in the Qiyamah, there are 50 stops, every stop is like 1,000 years from your counting. Then the Imam, peace be upon him, recited the above ayat. In another ayat, one day is said to be equal to 1,000 years. He rules all affairs. Then all affairs go up to him in a day the space whereof will be 1,000 years of your reckoning. Quran, 32:25. This second ayat has been explained in more than one way. 1. It means that so far as the power of Allah is concerned, one day and 1,000 years are equal. 2. One day of Qiyamah will look to the unbelievers like 1,000 years because of its pains and turmoils. 3. But more to the point is the explanation given by Allama Majlisi, may Allah be pleased with him. He writes, Maybe, some unbelievers will remain in Qiyamah for 1,000 years, and for them that day will be of 1,000 years, while other unbelievers will remain there for 50,000 years, and their day will be that much longer, may Allah be pleased with him, and likewise, the day of all good and evil people will be according to their stay in Qiyamah. Also, maybe the 1,000 years refers to the time of one stop only, as mentioned previously. The details of those 50 stops will be given afterwards. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, said in one of his sermons, describing the gathering, Until when the affairs come to a close, and the world is disintegrated, and resurrection draws near, Allah will take them out from the corners of the graves and the nests of the birds and the dens of the beasts, and dumps of death, they will be hastening towards his command, running towards the place fixed for their final return, groups, quite, standing, arrayed in rows. They will be within sight of Allah, and all of them will hear the voice of the caller. On them will be the dress of helplessness and cover of submission and humiliation. At that time contrivances that is, tricks and excuses will disappear, will be useless, desires, plans and hopes will be cut short, the hearts will be sinking silently, voices will be curbed down, and sweat will be like a rain, that is, will reach up to mouth, and fear will increase. The ears will resound with thundering voice of the announcer calling them towards the final judgment, and award of recompense, punishment and reward. Imam Hamid Bakir, peace be upon him, said, When the day of resurrection will come, Allah will gather the people in one, vast, field, they will be barefooted, naked, then they will be made to stand in the gathering place, Maheshah, till they will sweat profusely, and the breathing will come heavy, they will remain in that condition for 50 years as Allah says, and the voices will be subdued for the merciful, Allah, so that thou will not hear but a whisper. Quran, 20-108. Then Imam, peace be upon him, said then and an announcer will call out from the direction of the Arsh, where is the Ummi that is Meccan prophet. Some people will say, while you are announcing, better announce his name. Then he will announce, Where is the Prophet of Mercy, Muhammad son of Abdullah? Then the Messenger of Allah, our Holy Prophet, will advance in front of all mankind, till he reaches the Horde that is, Kawthar, whose length is like the distance between Ayla, present-day Eilat in Israel, and capital of Yemen, and will stand on it. Then your companion, that is, Hazrat Ali peace be upon him, will be called, and he will advance in front of the people and will stand with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, asked her father, peace be upon him and his progeny, O father, tell me what will be the condition of people on the day of Qiyamah. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, O Fatima! Everyone will be busy, that is, one will be submerged in one's worries. Thus nobody will look towards anyone, neither father towards his son nor the son towards his mother. Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, asked, will there be shrouds on them when they will come out of the graves? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, O Fatima! Shrouds will perish, and the bodies will be preserved. But, the private parts of a believer will remain hidden, while those of the unbelievers will be without any cover. Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, O Father! What will be the cover of the believers? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, a light, dazzling in brilliance, their bodies will not be seen because of that light. Fatima, peace be upon her, O Father! Where should I meet you on the day of Qiyamah? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, look for me near the weighing scale and I shall be entreating, my Lord. Increase the weight of, the good deeds of, him who solemnly declared that there is no God except Allah, and look, for me, near the books, of deeds, when the scrolls, of deeds, will be distributed, and I will be pleading, my Lord. Take account of my ummah, people, leniently? And look, for me, at the place of my intercession near the bridge of Jahannam, hell, when every man will be busy in his own affairs, with his own soul, and I will be preoccupied with, the salvation of, my ummah, praying, my Lord. Save my ummah, and the prophets, will be, around me praying our Lord. Save the ummah of Muhammad. Imam Ali Reza, peace be upon him, said. There are three occasions when this creation is most bewildered and frightened. The day he is born, he comes out of the womb of his mother and sees the world, for the first time, and the day he dies, and sees the next world and its people, and the day he will be resurrected and will see the commands or judgments, like which he had not seen in this world. And Allah sent salam, peace, safety, on, the Prophet, Yahya, John, and Baptist, in these three places and removed his fear, as he said, in the Quran, and peace be on him the day he is born, and the day he will die, and the day he will be resurrected alive. Quran, 19:15. And Isa, peace be upon him, sent peace on himself in these three places, as he said, and peace be on me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I will be resurrected alive. Chapter 40. Questioning of the Prophets and their Ummuts. Before questioning the people, Allah, in His justice, will first of all, ask the Prophets and Imams whether they had truly conveyed the message of Allah to their people. When the Prophets will affirm that they had indeed done so, they will be asked to produce their witness. They will declare that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon him and his progeny, is their witness. The Holy Prophet of Islam will testify on their behalf, and after establishing the fact that the Prophets had really conveyed the message of Allah to their peoples, questions will be put to the people as to how they received that message and how they followed it. Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon him and his progeny, will be the witness of the 12 Imams, peace be upon them, also, and Allah Himself will be the witness of the Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny. Some ayats, which mention one or the other aspect of this event, are given here for guidance, the day when Allah will gather the messengers together and ask, what was the response you received? They will say, we have no knowledge, thou knowest better than we, verily. Thou art the knower of all that is hidden. Quran, 5-109. So, surely, shall we question those to whom, the prophets, were sent, and surely we shall question the messengers. Quran, 7-6. Addressing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, Allah says, "Then, how will it be when we will bring a witness from every ummah, and will bring thee as witness over those witnesses?" Quran, 4:41. The witness over the people are the prophets, and our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, will be the prophet's witness. About our 12 imams, peace be upon him, it has been decreed, "Thus have we made you, O successors of Muhammad, a middle group, so that you may be witnesses over the people, and the messenger be witness over you." Quran, 2-143. The imam, peace be upon him, said, "That middle group, between the ummah and the prophet, the witnesses over the people, are we, the 12 imams, and Allah has intended only us in this ayat, and the prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, is witness over us." A second hadith from the first imam, peace be upon him. When the day of Qiyamah will come, and the scales will be erected, and the prophets and witnesses means imams, will be present, then every imam will testify on the people of his time that he stood before them with the commands of Allah and called them towards the way of Allah. Question: how can Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon him and his progeny, be a witness of the previous prophets and of the imams who came after his departure from this world? Surely, Allah cannot allow a testimony based on hearsay. Answer: the light of our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, was created thousands of years before the creation of Adam. And from the same light were created his daughter Bibi Fatima Zahra and the 12 imams, peace from Allah be on them all. It is not a place to describe the ahadith to this effect, but it is a fact which is beyond doubt in the Islamic faith. Even after his death, he is alive, and so are Bibi Fatima Zahra and 11 imams, peace be upon them, who have departed from this world. So far as the 12th imam, peace be upon him, is concerned, he is alive in this world, and is waiting the order of Allah to reappear. Therefore, when Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon him and his progeny, will testify on behalf of the previous prophets, it will not be a hearsay, he will testify as an eyewitness, because in his existence of light he had seen all that had transpired between the prophets and their people. And the same is the case about testifying on behalf of the imams. Chapter 41. Scrolls of Deeds, Testimony of the Limbs and Places, etc. The topics which are described in these lessons are the central part of the belief in the Day of Judgment. They show how the deeds will be judged on that day. As an outline, the translation of relevant paragraphs from Etiquadiyya of Sheikh As-Saduq is given here, with some relevant verses in brackets. Our faith concerning the writing of deeds: it is our faith that there are two angels deputed on every servant of Allah, they write down each and every deed he performs. And if someone intends to do a good deed but does not do it, one virtue, of good intention, is written in his record, and if he performed that good deed, 10 virtues are written, to his credit. And if someone intends to do an evil deed, but does not do it, nothing is written against him, till he actually does that evil deed. Even after doing that, he is given 7 hours grace. If he repents, then nothing is written against him. But if he did not repent in that time, only one evil act is written against him. As Allah says in the Quran, "He who brought one good deed, for him are 10 like it, and he who brought one evil deed, he will not be paid but only its equal." Quran, 6-160. And the two angels write everything, even blowing into ash. As Allah says, "And on you are the guards, noble writers, they know whatever you do." Quran, 82:10-12. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, once passed near a person who was talking vain words. Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, said, "O man! Verily, you are dictating a book to your angels which will be taken to your Lord, therefore, talk only what is useful to you, and leave useless talks." Also he said, "A Muslim is recorded as engaged in good deeds as long as he remains silent." Then when he talks, he is counted either as a virtuous man or an evildoer, according to what he says. And the place of the two angels is the collarbone, the one on the right side writes good deeds, and the one on the left writes evil deeds. And the two angels of the day write his actions during daytime, and the two angels of the night write his deeds during the night. Verily, Allah has ordered us to do justice, but he himself treats us with something higher than justice, that is grace. It is as Allah says. He who brought one good deed, for him are 10 like it, and he who brought one evil deed, he will not be paid but only its equal, and they will not be treated unjustly. Quran, 6-160. If Allah had treated us with justice only, he would have given only one reward for one good deed, as he gives one punishment for one bad deed. This written record of our whole life will be given to us on the day of judgment. As Allah says, and the bird, that is, deed, of every man have we bound around his neck, and we shall produce unto him, on the day of resurrection, a book which he will find open. It will be said to him, read thy book, thine own self will be a sufficient reckoner against thee. Quran, 17:13-14. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, on the day of judgment, a man will be given his scroll, to read. Then Allah will make him remember, there will be not a single look, or a single word, or a single step, or anything which he had done but that he will remember as though he had done it that very moment. It is for this reason that they will say, O woe unto us! What is about this book? It had not left any small or big thing without recording it thoroughly. The distribution of the scrolls is mentioned in many ayats. Those whose good deeds exceed the bad will be given their scroll in their right hands, those whose bad deeds outweigh their good deeds will receive it in their left hands. Their respective reactions are mentioned in these ayats. The day that you shall be brought to judgment, no secret of yours shall remain hidden. Then he that shall be given his book in his right hand will say, I hear? Read you my book. I did really believe that my accounts will one day reach me. So he will be in a life of bliss, in a garden on high, the fruits whereof will hang in bunches low and near. Eat and drink, with full satisfaction in reward of the good that you sent before you, in the days that are gone. But he that will be given his records in his left hand, will say, Ah! Would that my record had not been given to me! And that I had never known what my account was. Ah! Would that the death had made an end of me! Of no profit to me had been my wealth. My power has gone from me. The stern command will be issued, seize you him and bind him, burn him in the blazing fire. Quran, 69:18-31. While the people of right hand will be happy and well pleased with the outcome of their belief and actions, the people of left hand will try to find some loopholes in the overwhelming adverse records. Some of them will deny that they had done any of the things mentioned in those records. Then the angels who had written those records will testify against them. The culprits will say, O Lord! Thy angels are testifying to please thee. Finally, they will swear that they had not done any of the bad things recorded therein. Allah refers to it in the Quran in these words, the day Allah will resurrect them all, then they will swear before him as they swear before you. Quran, 58:18. Then they will be silenced, and their limbs will speak against them. The following ayats are about this aspect of Qiyamah. On the day when their tongues, and their hands, and their feet will testify against them about their actions. On that day Allah will pay them back their just dues, and they will realize that Allah is the truth that makes all things manifest. Quran, 24:24-25. This day shall we set a seal on their mouths, and their hands will speak to us and their feet will bear witness to all that they did. Quran, 36:65. On the day that the enemies of Allah will be gathered together to the fire, they will be marched in ranks. At length, when they reach the fire, their hearings, and their sights, and their skins will bear witness against them as to their deeds. They will say to their skins, Why bear you witness against us? The limbs will say, Allah gave us speech, he who gives speech to everything. He created you for the first time, and unto him you were to return. You did not seek to hide yourselves, lest your hearing and your eyes and your skins should bear witness against you. But you did think that Allah knew not many of the things that you used to do. And that thought of yours which you did entertain concerning your Lord, has brought you to destruction, and now you have become of those utterly lost. Quran 41:19-23. In a long hadith, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, As Allah has commanded you to safeguard yourselves and your religion and your wealth by getting witnesses of approved probity for your affairs, in the same way he has made sure about the affairs of his servants, by keeping witnesses on them. Thus there are for Allah on every being, guards from among his various creations, and there are angels in succession in front of and behind him, and they guard him by order of Allah and note down whatever he does, his actions, words and looks. And the places where he lives are the witnesses of Allah, for or against him, and the nights, days and months are his witnesses, for or against him, and the guardian, angels, who write his deeds are his witnesses, for or against him. Therefore, how many on the day of Qiyamah will be pleased by the testimonies of those witnesses for them? And how many on the day of Qiyamah will be disgraced by the testimony of those witnesses against them? Question: How can hands, feet and skins testify for or against anyone? These things do not speak. And how can the places of our actions testify for or against us? Answer: Even today, our hands speak for or against us. The fingerprints have sent tens of thousand culprits to their doom, and, likewise, have saved innumerable innocent people from being wrongly convicted. The same is the case with a strand of hair, a small thread from the fabrics worn, a minute amount of mud or dust, a scrapping of nail, and countless similar things which help an investigator to determine the guilt or innocence of a suspect. So, these speechless things are speaking even today on sins and crimes committed by human beings. Why then does it seem strange if on the day of Qiyamah Allah brings them as witnesses against evildoers? So far as creating speech is concerned, we know that Allah can create this power in anything. Therefore, if he gives the hands and other limbs power to speak on that special occasion, it is not to be doubted. And the limbs will give this very reply to the astonished wrongdoers, by saying that Allah, who creates speech in anything he wishes, has made them speak. Chapter 42. Weighing Scale. The belief that there will be weighing scale in the Qiyamah to weight the good and evil deeds of a man is universally held by all the Muslims because Allah has mentioned it in numerous ayats of the Quran. Weighing of the deeds is a part of the reckoning. Here is the translation of the relevant chapter from Etiquette Der. It is our belief about the reckoning that it is true. Some of that, reckoning or accounting, will be done by Allah Ta'ala himself, and the rest will be done by his proofs, that is, prophets and imams. Thus the reckoning of the prophets, messengers and imams will be done by Allah, and every prophet will take the account of his successor, and the successors will take the account of the ummuts. And Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, was asked about the words of Allah, and we will put the weighing scale with justice on the day of Qiyamah, and to none will be done injustice even a little. Quran 21:47. The Imam, peace be upon him, said, The weighing scale means the prophets and their successors. And there will be some people who will enter the garden, paradise, without any accounting of their deeds. And, verily, Allah will address his servants, from the ancients to the last ones, concerning the reckoning of their deeds, in one address, and everyone will hear his own case, not of others, and will think that Allah was talking to him alone, not to others, and talking with one person will not prevent Allah from talking to others at that very moment. And Allah will finalize the accounts of all from ancients to the last ones, in half an hour according to the timing of this world. And Allah will put forth for every person a scroll which he will find open, which will describe all his actions. It will not leave any small or big thing without fully exposing it, and Allah will make him his own scrutinizer and his own judge. It will be told to him, "Read thy book, thine own self will be a sufficient reckoner against thee." Now a few ayats on weighing scale. And the balance that day is true, so, that whose scales of good deeds will be heavy, will prosper, and those whose scales will be light will find themselves in loss, because they mistreated our signs. Quran, 7-8-9. We shall set up scales of justice for the day of judgment, so that not a soul will be dealt with unjustly in the least, and if there be no more than the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it to account, and enough are we to take account. Quran, 21-47. What is the weighing scale? There are three interpretations. Weighing scale means justice of Allah. As mentioned earlier, it means the prophets and imams who will judge the people on the day of Qiyamah justly. Allah will give the deeds a sort of material form, and that will be weighed in weighing scales, created for the purpose. All these meanings may be correct, and, what is more, all of them may exist together. Therefore, we do not have to choose between them. The first meaning is all-encompassing. Whatever the meaning of scale, justice of Allah will always be there. So far as the second meaning is concerned, it needs some explanation. The word mizan, scale, has one essential meaning: the device, standard and principle by which other things may be judged, measured or weighed. That essential meaning may take any of the forms, measures to find out length, weight, volume, mass, time, heat and various other such items. It may even be a device without any material form, like logic, which is also called mizan because it weighs the correctness or otherwise of an argument, and prosody, which determines the correctness, or otherwise, of meter of poetry. Thus, we have mizan of various shapes and types to measure various things. There is the rain gauge to measure rainfall, seismograph to measure earthquake, ECG, to measure electrical impulses in the heart muscles. On the day of Qiyamah, people will be judged according to their belief or disbelief and their good or evil deeds. In short, this means whether they accepted and followed the prophets and imams or not. Therefore, the prophets and imams will be the mizan by which the faith and deeds of the people will be measured and weighed. Now we come to the third meaning, the idea of a weighing scale to weigh the deeds, which would be given some weighable form, was rejected by many ancient scholars. They said that deeds were not body which could be weighed. On the other hand, many scholars like Allama Majlisi said that, "We believe in mizan and leave its meaning to the interpreters of the Quran, that is, to the Holy Prophet and Imams, and we do not take it upon ourselves to know what has not been clearly explained to us by the Prophet and Imams." He means that we should believe that there will be the mizan on the Day of Judgment. But, as the ahadith on this subject do not give it one definite meaning, we should not try to define what has been left vague by the Prophet and Imams. Rather, we should say that whatever the meaning of mizan, it is the truth and we believe in it. And in these days the idea of weighing or measuring beliefs and deeds does not appear so far-fetched as it did in ancient times. Man, with all his limitations, has invented machines which measure the emotions and feelings of a man. Not only that, they judge the behavior of an army or a country, and even predict the trends of their future conduct. What happens is this: definite examples of behavior and conduct, that is, deeds and emotions, are changed to some symbols and signs or numbers, and the data are fed into a computer. The computer weighs the data and gives its judgment. If man has succeeded in giving the actions and feelings a weighable or measurable form, and in inventing a machine which weighs the data and passes its own judgment, how can we reject the idea of a weighing scale, in its literal meaning, on the day of judgment? Surely, the Creator is omnipotent, and he can easily create a mizan to weight our beliefs and actions. As mentioned in the beginning, all three meanings may be correct and may exist side by side. The people may be judged by the mizan, literal meaning, on the basis of their accepting and following of the prophets and imams, second meaning, and all this process will be based upon the justice of Allah, first meaning. But, as explained by Allama Majlisi, we leave the actual interpretation in the hands of the Holy Prophet and Imams, without choosing or rejecting any of the meanings. Whatever the meaning of Mizan, it is certain that our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his 12 successors, peace be upon them, will be present near Mizan, and will take the accounts of our deeds as has been quoted from Etiquadiyar of Sheikh Saduq, may Allah be pleased with him, earlier.